Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Visible and beautiful. Number one, work out. Number two, shine out. Number three, give out. Number four, pour out. Now, men and women are different. Isn't that true? My wife likes to watch Emmerdale Farm. She also likes to watch Casualty. Sometimes she'll come in and say, "What on earth are you watching?" So I tell her, "It's the Californian Gold Rush, starring Wild Bill Elliott. But it's in black and white. It was made years and years and years ago, yeah, but it's fantastic. I love cowboy films, absolutely fantastic." And then I tell her about the song which I used to sing. Put up your hand if you remember, "Only the Heartache" by the Houston Wells and the Marksmen. "There's gold in the mountains and gold in the valleys and gold in the rivers and gold in the sea." "Bill, that was in 1963. Come on, will you?" But my favourite one is this fella, John Grizzly Adams. Look at him. Oh, do you know what? He had a grizzly bear called Lady Washington, and he had a grizzly bear called Samson. And he did business with shoes, and did business with animal skins, did business in the circus. But in 1849, in the 1849 gold rush in California, he went searching for gold. Do you know what they used to do? They'd have a pan and a pick and a shovel. And they'd go, and there they would try and mine a mountain or mine a river. They soon realized that the only way to get gold from a mountain for a river is by painstaking, diligent, searching, back-breaking work. No short cuts to the shining metal. In fact, it's amazing. In that 1849ers, $2 billion worth of gold was found. Isn't that amazing? Staggering. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to Christians living in the gold mining town of Philippi, which they called the mini Rome, where Romans would come and they would find gold in this place and invest in this place. He says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Just as the gold miners in the 1849 gold rush, just as the gold miners there in Philippi would go to the mountain and go to the valley where the rich deposits of gold were already there and then do the back-breaking work of digging it out and finding it out and then investing it, so the Apostle Paul says to the Christians in Philippi, "My beloved brethren and sisters, you obey not in my absence but in my presence, and in my presence and in my absence. I want you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, I want you to notice something. He doesn't say work for your salvation. He doesn't say work up your salvation. He doesn't even say, work at your salvation. The Apostle Paul has made it plain when he wrote to the Ephesians, "We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We can't work our salvation. We can't pay a debt. We can't do it. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look on sin. How can we, who are broken and fallen and sinful, ever add anything, do anything for our salvation? Listen to what the poet said. Josiah Conder said, "'Tis not that I chose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee had you not chosen me. You from sin that stained me have cleansed and set me free. From old you did ordain me that I should live for thee." Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of him who wills or him who runs. It's of God who shows mercy. It is God who takes the initiative in our salvation. He planned it before the world was made. In time, our Lord Jesus Christ came to live the life we could never live and die the death we deserve to die and rise again for our justification and ascend into heaven as our great high priest. He sends his spirit into the world. It's his spirit that convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and opens our ears and opens our hearts, gives to us repentance, gives to us faith, draws us with irresistible grace and with his loving kindness to know him whom to know is life eternal. Salvation is of the Lord. Paul doesn't say work for your salvation, work up your salvation, work at your salvation. No, work it out. Just as the gold is deposited in the hills around Philippi, and you have to painstakingly work and getting that treasure, so you and I have the treasure within us by the Holy Spirit. And we are to work out our salvation. Listen, wholeheartedly, single-mindedly, with purpose, with reverence, with awe. Remembering it's God that works in you. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God, by his Spirit, resides within the heart of every believer. Isn't that amazing? We're indwelt by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the Spirit's aid, with God working in us, with God working through us, do everything you can to be a visible and beautiful Christian in the world in which we live. With his resources, with his Holy Spirit, with his word, with the means of grace he supplies, work out your own salvation. Be diligent in being godly. I've said this to many people. I say it to myself and I say it to you. You are as godly as you really want to be. You are as godly as you really want to be. We have a diet of candy floss and of fizzy drinks which says, let go and let God. We need to diligently work out our own salvation, doing all we can to obey God's word. Number two, shine out. Shine out by being thankful and gracious and godly in a crooked world. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. He says this, do all things without grumbling or questioning or disputing or arguing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do you remember the kids singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Remember what Jesus said? You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Shine out, says the Apostle Paul. And how can we shine out? By being thankful. By being gracious. By being godly. By being different. In a crooked and perverse generation. A crooked and twisted generation. Of course, the first century, when Rome dominated the world, any of you have ever read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, any of you have ever seen any films on Rome, you'll know how idolatry and immorality was rife. You know how the treatment of men and women as chattel, you know how life meant nothing. It was a twisted, it was a crooked generation. Darkness abounded. Paul says, I want you to shine out in this twisted and crooked generation. Do all things without grumbling and moaning and complaining. Whoa, whoops-a-daisy. I wonder if Paul wrote today, he'd say, resign from the Good Moaning Britain Club. I've never, ever met someone who doesn't complain. All of us are guilty of it, aren't we? Yeah. In fact, this generation has more, our society, our culture has more gadgets, more conveniences, more helps. We live in luxury compared to the great majority of the world, and yet we're a group of chronic complainers. Whingers, whiners, moaners, groaners. What's more, it is an illness, a cancer that's in the church. Now shine out. Your witness will be much more effective. You'll be light in a dark world if you're a thankful, gracious, godly Christian man or woman in this twisted and crooked and moaning and groaning and whinging and whining world. How practical is that? Number three, give out. Give out God's word. Verbalize the gospel. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Remember, the Apostle Paul is in prison. He's under house arrest. Very soon he will be in the Mamertine prison and he will be awaiting execution. He looks at the Philippian Christians. He says, do you know, when I see you living the Christian life, I see that my life has not been in vain. I've not run in vain. But I want you to hold forth. That used to be the motto of Belvedere Road Church. Hold forth the word of life. Hold out. Give out the word of life. Verbalize the gospel. Tell men and women what God's word teaches. How important that is. You see, I agree with the statement to some degree, which says, preach the gospel to everyone. And if necessary, use words. I agree with that. I think men and women would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I believe that if men and women lived out their Christian life, lived it out, very often they wouldn't need to say anything. People would ask them questions. Why are you so different? How come you don't do this? How come this happens to you? What? So I agree with that. But you can't be a silent Christian. You can't be. We can't be. We have the good news. And everybody should know. I have such a wonderful Savior. Everybody should know. We should be gossiping the gospel. Holding forth the word of life. Listen, I don't mean going on campaigns. I don't mean waving banners. I don't mean joining protest marches. But I do mean sharing the love of God in Christ revealed in God's word. Keeping the main things the main things. Giving out, holding out, spreading out the word of life. Number four. Pour out your life in his service. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Could you just keep that up there for a minute? I mean, listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm glad. He's chained to a Roman soldier. I'm glad and rejoice with you all. In his mind's eye, he sees the Philippian Christians. He says, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. Your faith, the fact that the gospel has spread as far as Philippi, the fact that it's turning the whole world upside down, the fact that there are men and women, boys and girls in every city almost who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm able to rejoice. And I'm laying out my life and I'm pouring out my life as a sacrificial offering of your faith. Likewise, you should be glad. You should rejoice with me. Rejoice with me that I'm pouring out my life. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Remember in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice an animal and sometimes they would get wine and they would pour the wine over the sacrifice. And it would give off this beautiful odor, this beautiful scent. And it, wow, that smells good. Paul says, I'm ready to be poured out. I am being poured out. When he wrote to Timothy, he said, that's exactly what's happening. I'm awaiting execution. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. I've fought the fight. I'm ready to be poured out. Pour out your life. Work out. Shine out. Give out. Pour out. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one, look at me. Because this is for you, it's not the person next to you. You. Be a visual and beautiful Christian. Make up your mind. Two. You and me. Let's be diligent in the use of means, the means of grace, the word of God, the fellowship of believing people, to work out our own salvation. Be diligent in the use of means. Number three, quit moaning. Quit being a critic, a cynic, a schoolmaster. Quit it. Quit criticizing. Quit being negative, narrow, nasty. Quit it. It's a chronic illness in the church. It's a chronic illness in the world. Shine for Jesus by being gracious. Number four. Live out the Bible. And spread the evangel. Live out the Bible and spread the evangel. Number five. Offer up your life. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said it's only our reasonable service to offer up our life. Be a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. It's only your reasonable service. Pour out your life. Number six. live at the cross. You see, this whole context follows on from what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians last week, speaking about the beauty and humility of our Lord Jesus Christ and his humiliation and his exaltation. It's as if the Apostle Paul is saying to the church, those petty squabbles that you have at church there in Philippi, those group of complaining people who do nothing but moan and whinge and whine, listen, listen, it's tearing the heart out of the church and it's tearing the heart out of your testimony. Do you think when it's your funeral you want someone saying, he was the chief, she was the chief complainer? No, think on the cross. Live at the cross. Live in the light of Calvary. Look to Jesus. Remember his humiliation and his exaltation. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Let's stand and sing.